This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. E3 2012 is in the books, and we're already thinking ahead to next year, including the ESA. Plus, we talk with Brandon Hofer from the Totally Gaming Network about what he saw on the show floor. Tonight is June 10th, 2012, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Crossbows and helicopters. That's what I got from this week. Crossbows and helicopters. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition, the E3 wrap-up edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, broadcasting live from a helicopter with a crossbow in hand. Either we're shooting from a helicopter with a crossbow or we're shooting helicopters with crossbows. I don't know how that works, but trust me, that's the way it is. But this is the show where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live over at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. Head on over to the live chat page where you can participate with us live in the chat room, and you can also check in to the show if you are registered on VogNetwork.com, and you can actually get points and go up on the leaderboard. I really appreciate it if you do that, because I'm kind of like in a war with Under Sedation Live. They have more check-ins than I do currently, Under Sedation Live on Saturday nights, and I want to fix that. So if you are registered over at VogNetwork.com, you can actually get points and even loot eventually for checking in to the show. It is on the chat page, chat.vognetwork.com, and it's over there on the left if you're logged in. There's a little link that says check in to receive 5 points. Go do that. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up the Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show. That is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. So there's two things I wanted to mention before we get into the E3 talk, because I'm actually going to be doing the E3 segment with somebody who was actually at E3, since I was not at E3 this year for various reasons. First off is I actually have my first written review up, and it's up on the site. It's a review of an Xbox Live Arcade game called Jam Live Music Arcade. It's a rhythm game, and you guys know that I love Rock Band and games like that. So this was a promotional copy for me, and instead of reviewing it here on the show, I reviewed it on the site, and there's actually gamification and gaming elements to reviews. If you have also played it, you can also get some points if you either agree with me or disagree with my review. And all that info is available over at VogNetwork.com. But that's where that review is, and you can see my grade over there. And the second thing is, you know, I don't talk that much about Kickstarter projects, but there's one that I'm, you know, been following, and they have like 48 hours left or something like that. And they need about $40,000 more, which they've, you know, out of $500,000. And that's the two guys from Andromeda. They are responsible for creating the Space Quest series. The old Sierra Adventure games, one of my favorite adventure game series, is, you know, Space Quest and Police Quest were kind of my two favorites, along with Leisure Suit Larry. I wasn't that much into the King's Quest series, but Space Quest and Police Quest and them were really what I enjoyed as a kid. And they're trying a new project called Space Ventures. And it's the two guys from Andromeda reunited again to make an adventure game kind of in the style of Space Quest, although they are not going to be using the Space Quest IP for, you know, obvious reasons, because Activision owns it. So if you are into those old school adventure games and you didn't realize the Space Quest guys were trying to make one, go head on over to the Kickstarter. There's about 40 hours left or something like that, and they're really close to their goal to getting the game made, and they've been doing this big push. They're like two updates a day and stuff, and, you know, live chats, Let's Plays of Space Quest, Reddit AMAs. They're doing a lot. So that's wanted to kind of give a plug to that since there is like 40 hours left on that Kickstarter, and I'd like to see it funded. I already funded on it, so I put my money where my mouth was. So E3 2012 was this week out in Los Angeles, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to call somebody who actually went to E3, and we're going to see if he's willing. He actually told me earlier he is willing to spend a little bit of time with us. We've had him on the show before. He's called in before. Brandon Hofer from Totally Gaming Network. How you doing, man?
Doing okay. Very tired. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm not as tired as you.
Yes. But I'll excuse any voice issues as I'm just getting it back.
Yeah. It takes a while for the voice to get back. But thank you for spending time because I think you just got home today.
Well, late last night, early morning, however right. You choose to look at it.
Yeah, so, you know, you're still unpacking and you've got, you know, stuff, you've got things to write and everything, so thank you so much for spending some time with me on this, because it'll be good to get somebody who was actually on the show floor to talk about it. But I'm going to talk about some stuff and I'll kind of lead in to things. First one is actually about E3 next year, and I wanted to see if there was any conversation on the show floor about it. And that's, you know, well, the numbers this year. Polygon says E3 2012 brought in 45,700 industry professionals, $40 million in revenue to the city, 200 exhibitors from around the world, and 30,000 hotel room nights. I bring this up because we don't know where E3 is going to be next year. What a lot of people don't know is that essentially what's going on with the city and the Los Angeles Convention Center is they really want an NFL team back. Because they had two and they lost them both. And the problem is Los Angeles doesn't have a stadium that can have the NFL team. And the proposed location of the stadium is right on top of the West Hall of the Los Angeles Convention Center. And that's because that's the hall that's closest to Staples Center, Nokia Theater, LA Live, things like that. And the plan is that they're going to rebuild a hall that's the size of West Hall over Pico Boulevard, which is kind of in the center of the convention center. But they're not sure if that's going to be done by next year's E3. So E3 says, well, we're not going to renew if we don't think the convention center can handle it. So was there any talk about that out at the show, about where the show might be next year?
Honestly, I didn't really hear too much about it. You know, as you are well aware, everyone is always rushing to make their next appointments. Mm-hmm. So, no, there really wasn't, at least with the people that I was with, there really wasn't much discussion about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's people throwing things out, and even the article initially threw out some things. My guess is going to be San Francisco. Now, I think you had a different California city in mind, but my guess was San Francisco. Some people are saying, you know, bring it east, bring it here. The farthest east it would go is Vegas, and I'm not sure if they're going to go to Vegas because, what, like the high was 99 degrees this week in Vegas, and I'm not sure if they're going to go for that. But yeah. Vegas is a great convention town. Where do you think it might go if it doesn't go to L.A.?
I think San Francisco is a really plausible candidate. Obviously, a lot of the industry is in San Francisco. A lot of the gaming media is in San Francisco in terms of the bigger names, you know, your IGNs and the whatnot. San Diego, I think, is mm-hmm. another possibility. They obviously have the space as yeah. they run Comic-Con every year. Mm-hmm. So I think they would want to keep it in California since a lot of the industry is based throughout California. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I've been wrong before.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, the last time E3 left the West Coast, it was in my hometown, and that's when I started going to E3. It came to Atlanta because Atlanta actually had the largest convention center in the country at the time. I think now Chicago eclipsed it, and there's some other bigger ones. But actually, the Los Angeles Convention Center was being renovated, which is why E3 came to Atlanta for 2 years and then went back. But what turned out happening is that game developers and publishers don't want to travel too far to E3.
Exactly.
And so that's why you're not, I mean, I know that New Orleans was mentioned. I know that New York was mentioned. I know that Chicago has been mentioned. There, ESA threw out a couple city names. I don't think it's going to go that far east. I honestly don't think it's going to go any farther east than Vegas. And I think it's going to stay in California. San Francisco already has a good relationship with the gaming community because of, you know, GDC being there. And the Moscone Center is a huge facility. Some other people were saying Seattle. And the reason, I mean, Seattle would be a great location if their convention center was not too small for PAX. Because if you can't handle PAX, you're definitely not going to be able to handle E3.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of what I was thinking too. I think New York is a real long shot. Mm-hmm. Especially with smaller companies, that, again, like I just said a couple of minutes ago, and I'll echo your point as to where LA is such a good location for them, that San Diego obviously would probably be the best bet just because it's 90 minutes down the road.
You know, but, and other people are saying maybe Anaheim or something, because Anaheim's got a big convention center, but I don't know if like the surrounding area for all the parties and all the other things that happen along with E3, if Anaheim can support that. Because, I mean, obviously all the press conferences in Los Angeles, they go to different theaters in all around Los Angeles, and so you've got to kind of have that infrastructure for everything that happens outside of the show floor.
Well, the Anaheim Convention Center is also right by Disneyland, too, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know how exactly that would work out. You know, you incorporate the Disney crowd, the 50,000 E3 crowd. It'll probably be, you know, just like we have in LA this year. Like, this year it wasn't the Lakers, but it was the Kings screwing everything up.
Yeah, now Rob Robert Sky in chat says, I'm not sure Anaheim Convention Center would work because it barely holds BlizzCon.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's the same thing as the PAX thing. If you can't hold PAX, you're not going to be able to hold E3.
Definitely.
But we're going to learn by the end of the month, I think, is what ESA said about where the host city is going to be and the dates for next year, because people obviously have to make their plans early.
Absolutely.
So we'll know by the end of the week, but I thought that was interesting. And also, it could happen that the convention center would reject the plans for Farmers Field, which is the name of the stadium.
Yeah.
And if they do that, then E3 is going to be back in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, I got that press release that you were just quoting at the top of the show, and E3 makes the city of LA, the county of LA for that matter, a whole lot of money. You know, all those hotel rooms, all those restaurants are full, and all those taxis are used, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big financial hit if E3 is not in LA.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, LA knows that. E3 is, like, I think one of the biggest, if not the biggest convention that brings things into Los Angeles.
Well, they had a big giant banner, too, right over Figueroa this year. You know, welcome E3 attendees, you know, that type of thing. And they were going all out to make sure everyone, you know, was feeling welcome. And there's a couple more restaurants now across the street from the convention center where it used to be an abandoned building.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know they're trying to keep it there as long as possible.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you know, they are going to be looking at E3, and E3 is kind of flexing its muscle about over the stadium and the stadium plans and stuff, because they want to make sure that they can do load-ins and have the expo space, because the West Hall is a huge hall.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they've got to have, you know, the load-in, the ability to do all that, and they need assurances that's going to be there next year. But even if, like, they leave for a while, they're going to come back to L.A.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be gone forever. The Los Angeles Convention Center, if they do go through with the stadium plan, they're going to rebuild the West Hall, I guess, over Pico Boulevard. And once that's all completed and all the kinks are worked out, E3 is going to go right back to L.A., just like they did the last time the Convention Center went into renovation, when they came out to Atlanta and everybody complained it was too hot and too far away.
So here's a location no one has said, and for good reason, I might add, but what about Santa Monica?
They've been there, done that.
Exactly.
Been there, done that. I mean, I was actually at that E3. I couldn't get in this year, but I could get into the one in Santa Monica. Go figure.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think it's going to be in Santa Monica.
No, yeah, I wasn't saying that as a serious suggestion. Yeah. It was just, I was remembering a few years ago when they tried that.
Yep. So let's talk about this year's E3 and talk about some stuff. I was able to watch the conferences. You were probably at a lot of the conferences and stuff, and I kind of wanted to go down through the big first-party console makers first and what you kind of took out of it. And, you know, I'm going to start kind of in the order of their press conference. Microsoft did their briefing first. The only thing I really got out of it that other than, you know, okay, we're getting a new Halo and stuff, is I'm really big on the smart glass thing because...
Are you? Because I know there's mixed reactions about that.
I like it because of the idea of we're using stuff you already own.
Yes, I thought that was a brilliant maneuver when he came out and said, you know that iPhone that you have? Mm-hmm. You can use it on this.
Yeah, my iPad is already there. And actually, I do enjoy – everybody's like, really? Are you really going to use that kind of, you know, second screen technology? I'm like, yes. My Tron Legacy Blu-ray has an iPad app that syncs with my Blu-ray player and acts as a second screen for behind-the-scenes features, photos, and info while I'm watching Tron Legacy. And I love that feature. So, yes, I absolutely would, you know, use a second screen for things like, you know, Game of Thrones and stuff like that.
Yes, yes. Smart Glass was definitely very interesting. Like I said, I'm kind of excited about the potential. I don't know how much I'll actually use it, but I guess that'll be, you know, answered as soon as they release it.
Yeah.
There were a couple of people who I were thinking that was kind of the answer to the Wii U. Mm-hmm. I don't really see that.
Well,
but everyone has their own opinion.
That is, I think, why Nintendo did their Nintendo Direct presentation Sunday night. Mm-hmm. That showed more of the Wii U controller because they were trying to do it before Microsoft introduced Smart Glass.
Yeah. So yeah, that was definitely interesting. As far as like actual games, mm-hmm. I know you're not much into the shooters, but I thought Splinter Cell was looking pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy the Kinect functionality in that. I don't know. You said you watched it.
I did, and here's the thing. Okay, here's my problem now. Okay, because I liked Kinect. When I first saw it, and I liked the technology behind it. I liked the 3D camera. I liked the way that it works and all that stuff. But do you notice that for the core gamer, I guess, and all the functionality in the core games, it's just a microphone?
Yeah.
Why did I pay for a $120 3D camera when all the good Kinect functionality just uses the microphone? Why couldn't I just use a headset and have the voice recognition in the Xbox instead of in the Kinect sensor?
I mean, it's a good question. I don't know, because you were able to do stuff, you know, with like Tom Clancy's N-War with your microphone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the Madden head coach games, you could actually bark into the headset.
Yeah, I think the Kinect, well, it's kind of served the same purpose as the Wii, right? I mean, at the press conference, too, they revealed Dance Central 3, which I'm sure will mm-hmm. do pretty well sales-wise, yeah. even though maybe not a lot of the core gamers will play it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they know who they're marketing that towards.
Yeah,
so
they're marketing Dance Central to the Usher fans. We figured that one out.
Yes,
and
yes.
How many people actually got up and danced?
I don't know. I actually was able to get a pretty good video of it. So,
yeah, from what I understand, nobody stood up and danced during the Usher thing, even though he said, "I know it's early, everybody stand up and dance."
Well, it's the same kind of thing when Ubisoft brought out Flo Rida for Just Dance 4.
Yeah, we'll get to Ubisoft.
Oh, I know we'll get there.
We'll get there.
It was a similar idea for both companies.
And I mean, it's going to work. There were people that were like, "Why did they do that?" Well, you got to realize, like, the video from these press conferences doesn't just go to gaming media.
Absolutely.
They go to, you know, like the MTVs and the BETs and all that stuff. So having Usher come out to promote your video game is going to bring in people who want to play, you know, do Usher's dance moves.
No question.
And so that's why they did it, even though the core gamers are like, why did you waste my time with Usher? It's a photo op, or a video op in this sense.
I actually thought Wreck-It-Tier, the Kinect mm-hmm. Angry Birds game.
Yeah.
I thought that was, while that game might be fun, I thought that was a bit of a waste of time. I would have preferred they maybe highlight the Summer of Arcade titles, which were not announced during that segment.
Yeah, and I mean, Angry Birds is the most popular game in the world right now.
Oh, I know it is.
So, yeah.
But I'm just saying. It looked like it could be fun. I didn't get a chance to play it myself, but mm-hmm. I think that particular segment could have been better utilized.
That was the thing, is that they only showed the four games that were original IPs. And mm-hmm. there were people that wanted to see more original IPs and more original stuff. It was just shooters or Smart Glass.
I think we're kind of at a tricky situation right now, though, too, whereas the 360 and the PS3 are almost in their twilight.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the really new OMG stuff is probably being held back for the 720 and the PS4.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think about that, but that was just something.
I think that's the case, and we're going to get to some games that haven't been announced yet that I think are going to, you know, be falling into that sense. But, I mean, yeah, they know that the next consoles, the next Xbox and the next the PlayStation, are coming out next holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, they, you know, anything that's coming out after next holiday season has to be on the new consoles.
Yes.
So, you know, that's kind of why we're kind of at this point where we're, you know, showcasing the stuff that's been in development, the stuff we've known about, not really that many surprises. There are a few.
Yeah.
So what, anything else like Microsoft first party that you saw maybe on the show floor that wasn't in the press conference?
Honestly, no, not really. Out of the big three, Nintendo's the only one that would really give me an appointment.
Okay.
So I didn't really do a whole lot with Microsoft or Sony.
All right. Well, Sony's press conference, are we judging a Wonder Book by its cover?
Possibly. I mean, my initial thought was it's kind of iPad in book form.
Yes. And I think it's going to go really well with the intended audience for iPad, which are five-year-olds.
The same with the dancing games. I think they were smart to bring out Rowling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Rowling, to drop that name. I think that was a pretty brilliant move on their part. I think maybe it wasn't demoed the best way, mm-hmm. and they... That segment went far too long.
Well, they also had problems, if you notice. Yeah. Like they had bugs on the stage. The game wasn't reacting the way it was supposed to. But I think having four different people try to demo it, and the cameraman didn't know who to focus on at the time. But I think, you know, iPad is, you know, wonderful, because there's a five-year-old girl who, you know, and actually now has my iPad. She loves it, and I think she would love to play around with the Wonderbook.
I can definitely see the reason why Wonderbook exists, why Kinect exists, why Move. Mm-hmm. I definitely know where they're going for. It's just some of them are just not necessarily geared towards us.
Right.
And I think that's the problem some people have. It. They think every game should be geared towards them.
Right. And, you know, even What Up G in chat says that, you know, they spent too much time on Wonderbook instead of having other games, or even Vita. The Vita seemed like it was kind of neglected.
The Vita, in my personal opinion, was a huge misstep by Sony. And again, I know, again, with you not being a shooter fan, but they announced Call of Duty is coming out holiday of 2012 for the Vita, but all we got was a logo.
Yeah.
It's like, if this game is coming out in 3 or 4 months and no one's ever seen anything on it, give us bare minimum a 30-second teaser. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But then people are going to buy it anyway. Who cares?
And that's very true, but it still blew my mind
that
they're touting holiday titles and they're not willing to really back it up other than a logo.
I am not upset at the lack of hearing, please put on your 3D glasses.
Yes.
I am not upset at that at all, because last year, every press conference I went into, we had 3D glasses we had to take on and put off and everything. None of that, no Vita. But that game with Ellen Page looked really awesome.
I'm actually accumulating a nice stash of 3D glasses, by the way. But absolutely. What was that, Beyond?
Beyond,
that
yes. Beyond Two Souls.
Beyond colon two souls.
Yes, remember the colon.
Yes. No, that actually did look really good. I'm a big fan of Quantic Dream.
Mm-hmm.
I very much enjoyed Indigo Prophecy.
Yeah.
And I haven't done everything in Heavy Rain, but it's definitely high up on my list.
Yeah.
And I thought that was looking really, really nice.
Yeah, and I mean, I loved Heavy Rain. It was, you know, back to the adventure thing, and I guess Beyond is more of an action game. But it looks like Heavy Rain, but I don't know if we're going to press X to Jason. Probably not.
Yes.
And Beyond. But no, that one looked really, really good, and it was one of those that finally kind of, you know, helped break the stereotype of, you know, games have no emotion or something, because the capture technology as well was really interesting. I saw some stuff on that.
Another one that I thought was looking really good was The Last of Us.
Yes. Which they changed... They changed the logo. They put more of a space between the words of and us, so I can't call it The Last of Us anymore.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I watched the briefings on TV, so I didn't have to worry about bandwidth caps and buffering and all that stuff. And The Last of Us trailer, I basically couldn't listen to, because it was just one long beep.
Yeah, I know. I remember you saying that earlier. And being there, that I was fortunate enough to be there in person, that thing never really crossed my mind.
Yeah. So, and then also they showed more of the PlayStation, the Battle Royale, the Smash Brothers game.
The Battle Royale landed. Sony had the best comment of the press conferences with Battle Royale when, after they introduced it and they showed it off, when Jack Tretton stood there with a straight face and said that was a one-of-a-kind game.
Yes. Jack is great at the press conferences.
I was sitting there looking at my friend, which in previous years you were amongst those. And we've done that before, where it's like, you know, is he serious?
Yes.
You know, we're trying to stifle our laughter.
Yeah. And I think he knew that. Like, Jack knows what he's doing on press conferences. He's wonderful at those.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I was very, very surprised that there was a no Vita price drop announcement. Yeah. I don't know what Sony thinks they're doing with the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
I personally own one, and I think it's an amazing piece of hardware. And there's some really great games coming out, like Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's going to be the same case in a year or two if you still have no one buying it.
Right.
So I really, I don't know. Again, it was mind blowing.
So anything else Sony first party that you saw or saw anything about?
Sony first party.
I mean, I know you didn't go have an appointment with them, but I didn't know if, like, anything else stood out.
Yeah. No, not really. I mean, obviously, God of War, was looking pretty nice.
I mean, we can sit here and talk about what wasn't there.
Yes, that was one of my big disappointments too, right? So The Last Guardian.
Yeah.
I'm very scared that Sony... Actually, I don't know what to think about that game, honestly.
Yeah.
I have this dreading feeling coming that it's getting canceled.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they haven't announced it, but right. It's just... This is, what, third year in a row they've missed?
Yeah, and this time they said it was due to technical difficulties.
And I'm like, yeah, and it's like, how many... I mean, Sony had to have sunk a lot of money into this game so far. Yeah. Pretty much it's going to be the point of no return.
Right. And you know the game's going to make you cry anyway.
Yes. Well, you have games like Amalur. They need $3 million to break even.
Right.
Right? And you have other games that need, like, $4 million to break... Whatever. How many copies of The Last Guardian are they going to need to make to even sniff at a profit, you know?
Yep.
It's because Sony has some really tremendous first-party games, but unless they're God of War or Uncharted, they really don't sell.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hope it comes out, because I really want to play it.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll just have to wait, hopefully, maybe next year.
You know it's going to make you cry, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what everyone was saying when you saw that trailer. I wonder if this is a case of Sony kind of putting the cart before the horse, you know, like showing it way too early. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, when was the first time we saw it? 4 years ago?
Yeah, something
like that.
3.5 years
ago?
Yeah.
So.
And you knew then it was going to make you cry.
Yes.
The Guardian was just way too cute. Nintendo, this is the one that you actually can talk most about. Nintendo basically announced their, it's kind of funny, like, everybody on the internet hated Nintendo's press conference, and it sounded like people actually at the Nintendo press conference actually kind of liked it, and you're kind of in that camp, aren't you?
I am. I talked to some people that were there that seemed to hate on it, too, and I legitimately don't understand why. Mm-hmm. It was like people wanted to see games, and that's what Nintendo gave us.
Yeah, but they didn't give you the right games. There was no new Zelda, even though we just got a new Zelda like 6 months ago.
Yes.
And there's a small subset of fans that were upset that there was no Fire Emblem.
Yes.
Which, you know, has now been announced there is going to be a new Fire Emblem here in the States. And it was just, I guess, licensing wasn't ready at the time to announce it in the press conference. And so it became kind of like an, oh, yeah, Fire Emblem's coming too, like in an interview.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, Pikmin 3 was obviously a big one for people. Mm-hmm. Everyone is very happy to see that. New Super Mario Bros. U is what it is.
Yeah.
I had fun playing it on the show floor, but it does make some interesting use of the Wii U tablet.
Right.
I was actually pretty impressed, and I think Nintendo was trying to make the third party the star in that conference.
Then they did the exact same thing with the 3DS, if you remember.
Yeah.
The 3DS, what was the star? Super Street Fighter 4.
Yes. And I know the big reveal during the press conference, I don't know how well it translated to TV or internet stream, was the Mass Effect 3 reveal.
Yeah. I don't remember if we heard the cheers for that or not, but that was kind of the point all of us in chat were like, oh, okay. And then you know, obviously the haters that were already kind of in a bad mood were like, I already beat it. Is it going to have the better ending?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, they have a pretty strong lineup of third-party support, even if most of those games have already been out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, so they're going to get Mass Effect 3, right? So maybe, hopefully, Mass Effect 4 or whatever the next game is, maybe it's day and date with all three systems now. Because EA and BioWare are already on board with Nintendo, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and that was great. And apparently, did you get to play the Arkham City Wii U version?
Yes, I did get to play Arkham City.
Okay, and have you played? You've played the Arkham City on the consoles, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, is it the same? Is it different? Why if somebody's already bought and played and finished Arkham City on the 360 or PS3, why would they get the Wii U version?
It probably depends just how big of a Batman fan you are. I mean, the Warner Brothers, they obviously weren't showing everything, as no one does, but what they were showing was, you know, you can, the detective mode, for example, you know, when you have to scan different environments and things like that, you know, you could do it with the Wii tablet, you know, you hold up the tablet and you scan it, and it actually is easier to do it than with an analog stick. You could be a bit more precise. Mm-hmm. With the remote control Batarang, you know, there are instances where you had to throw it through a hole and, you know, control it and hit a button. Mm-hmm. You could control that using the screen as well, so you could kind of, you know, follow the Batarang as it's going. Mm-hmm. Which I thought, I mean, it takes a little getting used to, as every new console does. But I just thought I made stuff easier. I mean, not easier
Different.
Different. That's a better way to do it. Yeah. Right. That's a better word. So.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people are like, okay, they're announcing all these ports. Why would I care about all these ports? It's something to launch the console with.
I was very happy that it's not just a straight port. Like, Warner Brothers seems to be putting a significant amount of work into it.
Yeah.
And it's also important to note that if you haven't picked up Arkham City, or even if you've picked up the regular edition, you're thinking of picking up Game of the Year edition, that the Wii U version will have every piece of DLC that the 360 and PS3 has, including the new Harley one that just came out.
And also, did you... Okay, so Nintendo Land was how they ended their presser.
Which, yes.
My guess, even though they didn't announce it this way, that's going to be the pack-in game with the system.
Maybe I heard wrong. I thought they... Or maybe I just assumed, but I thought
I think we all assumed. They did not say... They said it was going to be available at launch, but they didn't say it was the pack-in game. I think it's going to be the pack-in game.
Yeah, it was probably just me trying to put two and two together.
Right, because, I mean, it sounds like it is basically... Because Wii Sports... Actually, Wii Play was supposed to be the original pack-in game.
Yes.
And the idea of the pack-in game for the Wii was to teach you how to use the controller.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely think that's what Nintendo Land is for the Wii U.
And so that's what I'm thinking Nintendo. And also what they're doing is, you know, they're bringing in franchises that maybe don't have popularity right now, like F-Zero, which I love.
Yes.
And they're actually giving it a minigame. And everybody's like, really? They're bringing back F-Zero and making it a stupid minigame? I'm like, no, you don't understand. They're introducing F-Zero.
Yes.
To the audience of people that are going to buy the Wii U that aren't us.
Exactly. And potentially then, to a new generation.
Yes. And then they can make an actual F-Zero game that those people will say, hey, I saw that in Nintendo Land. I think I will buy that full game. And then Nintendo profits, and they are happy that they made an F-Zero game, and we're happy because we have a new F-Zero game.
Yes. I mean, Nintendo isn't stupid. You know, it's as much as the core gamer might feel a little bit burned on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nintendo has obviously quite a bit of money now, so they can. I think they can afford to take a little bit more risk with Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could if they want, because Nintendo's never done it as far as I remember. But they could take a financial hit on the system if they wanted to try to, you know, make the price a little bit lower to try to get it in as many homes as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if they were ever in trouble, I mean, you know, they just drop a Pokemon and there you go.
Right.
And
I think I did read something today that Reggie said that we're all going to be pleasantly surprised with the price for the Wii U.
Yeah, and I mean, I know some people were thinking like PS3 level prices, and I just there's no possible way.
No, and he even said, no, we don't. Our competitors will price things at that high to get the value out of it. We are going for, you know, lower end. And really, I mean, the Wii U is on par or maybe just a tiny bit better than the current generation of consoles. They're not next gen.
I think where the Wii U might potentially outshine the 360 PS3 is maybe in memory, you know, the RAM and the console.
Yeah.
So games might run better on it just because it has a lot more memory to run off of.
And one thing also to note from a developer standpoint is that the Nintendo hardware has always been really easy, but good to code for. It's a good development environment. That's why the Wii, we always said it was two GameCubes duct taped together, because the GameCube had a great SDK.
Yeah.
But what also happens is that when you have something like that where it is that easy to code for, you reach the potential limit of the system after like a year.
Yeah.
You know, the best GameCube games, you know, started coming out like in 2002, a year after the GameCube launched, whereas it took 5 years because the Xbox 360 had so many different things and the PS3 had so many different things and was so difficult to code for, we didn't reach the potential for 5 years. And that's why, you know, games still kept looking better for year after year after year, whereas for the GameCube and then the Wii, we pretty much hit that limit after a year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I think we're going to see the same thing with the Wii U, but also, you know, we've learned that graphics aren't exactly everything.
Oh, absolutely. And it's also interesting to point out that over the past few generations, you know, the quote-unquote weakest console has always dominated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the PS2 had the weakest hardware, but obviously Nintendo and Microsoft couldn't touch Sony in that generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this generation, the Wii had the weakest hardware, and Nintendo blew everyone out of the water. And it's the same with the portables. You know, obviously PSP was stronger than the DS, but DS1, and history is currently repeating itself with the 3DS and the Vita.
Yeah, and Dark Tessia said, I read a story that it's stuff's easy to port to the Wii U. I think they're actually using a lot of the Xbox 360 kind of hardware type. It's the same type of hardware that's in the Xbox 360. That way the instruction set's the same, so it's a lot easier for you know, a lot of these game engines that write really low level code that works directly with the hardware, it has the same instruction set.
Yeah.
And so they can easily port their engine over to the Wii U because it's kind of it's comparable to the Xbox 360 version, which the 360 is a lot easier to code for than the PS3.
Yes, definitely.
So I thought that was interesting. And then the Miiverse, we talked a little bit about this on the show last week because they announced it on the Nintendo Direct. But the only thing I wanted to kind of bring up is that it's going to be moderated. And so this is going to be kind of interesting where Destructoid reports that they're going to – it's got a filter, obviously. But also, each post will be read by a Nintendo employee, screened in essence to make sure it is appropriate for all ages. This human screening will be augmented by a computer screening process to get rid of obviously offensive content. It's impossible to say how long the lag time will be. It will fluctuate depending on how many people are using the service and how many employees are sifting through comments. But Iwata feels that a 30-minute delay would be acceptable.
Now that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so they are actually, because I guess when you play, I don't know if they showed you any of the Miiverse type stuff, like with Super Mario Brothers.
Just at the press conference, just I didn't see it on the floor.
Yeah, apparently, like, you have to, you know, it has to be vetted. And so you're not actually, like, even the press conference video with the nondescript action figure kind of lied because he was like, oh, I posted this and I immediately got a call from my friend. No, it's got to go through their servers first before your friend can see it on his phone. But, I mean, I guess that's what Nintendo has to do because Nintendo is going to be targeted a lot more than Microsoft and Sony because Nintendo is for kids.
Yeah, yeah, of course. So, no, just like, what is that saying that you're opening for the show? You know, you can't be seen playing games that aren't hardcore.
Yeah, exactly. So, anything else with Nintendo first party that, because, I mean, you spent a lot of time with the Wii U. Anything else that you wanted to bring up that maybe we didn't talk about?
The first party, like, New Super Mario Brothers U was a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, everyone knows what the gameplay is, but the tablet makes it a good amount of fun. Mm-hmm. It's simultaneously cooperative and competitive. You know, there were times where, you know, I could play with my friend, and you can kind of, with the tablet, kind of tap the screen, and it creates a block. So, you know, if you're about to fall into a hole, quickly tap, you know, the screen, and you'll save your friend. Simultaneously, he did that to me at an inopportune moment, and I had a Goomba kill me. Yeah. You know, I was trying to jump up a ledge, and the blocks showed up there, and, well, I was dead. So, It looks like it's going to be a lot of bit of fun.
Alphagan Anagram in chat says, I thought the filter delay was for the in-game comments empathy thingy in Mario U, but that may just be me. I think it's for all comments on Miiverse, I think is what it's going to be. One thing I did like is that, you know, they surprised everybody that, because I mean I kind of know the technical, a little bit more of the technical stuff on the Wii U, and I fully understood why you'd only be able to use one gamepad because of how the gamepad works. And then they're like, it's going to be able to use up to two.
Yeah, and that was another one where I don't know quite how it translated, but there was definitely an uproar of approval.
And it's because they didn't tell you the caveat.
Yeah,
the caveat is that, you know, if you only have one gamepad up to or zero gamepads hooked up to the system, it runs at a nice, crisp 60 frames a second. You put in that second gamepad, 30 frames a second.
Oh, wow.
It cuts the frame rate in half because it's now got to push three screens instead of two.
That's true.
So what they do is that they limit how much, or limit the fluidity of the main screen on the TV to be able to transmit that second screen to the second gamepad. So that's the trade-off. And I think if they had said that in the press conference, everybody would have been like, oh.
Yeah.
But that's wireless technology. And, you know, I guess that's for them to keep the cost down. They don't want to charge a $500 for the system.
Yeah, true. And that part, that wasn't demoed on the show floor. I mean, I asked if there was a game I could try out, you know, with two Wii pads, and they didn't have any.
Yeah.
So maybe perhaps that's why.
Yeah. So that was kind of the trade. And they kind of worked that into an announcement later. Like, they were like, yeah, or no, actually what it was is, it was on Twitter. Nintendo had, like, a Twitter going on along with their press conference, and it had Iwata saying other things.
Yeah.
It was like, Iwata says this. And right after they announced the two screens, that tweet went up that said it's going to be, you know, 30 frames a second at two gamepads.
Was it on e3.nintendo.com? That Reggie said 20 times throughout the...
I don't know. I wasn't on e3.nintendo.com. But, it was on their Twitter, which probably was mirrored on it.
I would tell you, one of the funny things is where I sat at all the press conferences, I could see the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. And it was funny watching, and it was for all three companies, watching the executives flip their lines.
Yeah.
And try to recover quickly.
Yeah. So you know who didn't need a teleprompter? Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Yes.
No teleprompter needed, and they trolled Microsoft.
They just came out ripped on Smart Glass right after the Smart Glass segment and then showed off their game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty funny. People were laughing at that.
It was awesome.
Yes.
So that is it for the first parties. We're going to talk about some of the third-party stuff. And no, we're not going to go long, although we may, you know, cut out a little bit of the OLR call or something. We're probably not going to take your calls tonight. I probably lied at the beginning. But we're going to keep talking here because with Brandon Brandon Hofer from Totally Gaming Network, Boobisoft. I'm going to call them Boobisoft because G4 is going to get a fine because G4 aired their press conference live and decided not to actually censor any part of the Far Cry intro.
Now, you said they had time delay, right?
They did, because they censored out bleeps and everything. Like, Last of Us was impossible to listen to because it was just one long beep. I think they probably got scared after you know, letting that. But like, it was like, you know, 2 straight minutes. No blur, no nothing. G4 is going to get fined. Boobisoft is going to get fined for that. Because violence is okay. Nudity, yes. No.
The human body is, we have to stay away from that.
Yes. Have to absolutely stay away from that. So, other than that, the funny thing is, a lot of people say Boobisoft won E3, whatever winning E3 means. I think gamers win E3 every year, but
yeah.
You know, they, a lot of people are like, you know, oh my God, this was great, this was great. And here's the question that I'm going to ask is, you know, they showed a lot of, they showed Watch Dogs at the end, their new game, which is probably going to be for the next gen systems. Do we care that Boobisoft has very restrictive DRM on the PC anymore, or did they just win us all back with Watch Dogs?
Probably the latter. I mean, I know there was a lot of people that were kind of, you know, this game looks kind of cool, this might be kind of interesting, you know, and then they show the Watch Dogs logo and everyone starts cheering.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. I know I saw an interesting graphic on the internet, you know, right around the time Diablo came out, where it was like, you know, EA, DRM, FU, Ubisoft, DRM, FU, Blizzard, DRM, shut up and take my money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and so, I mean, that was kind of the thing that was running through my mind. Everybody was like, oh my God, they're great, they're awesome. And I'm like, don't you remember we don't like their DRM and we always complain about it and, you know, all this stuff? Because Watch Dogs, I think that was running on a very high-end PC.
Yeah.
That we were seeing.
And they also have a very cool iPad app that mm-hmm. where it's only shown behind closed doors, mm-hmm. where I don't think it's not done, so they weren't showing full functionality. But part of the concept of Watch Dogs is how hyper-connected we all are to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the iPad app looked very cool. It looked like it had the city of Chicago on it, and it looked like you're able to keep track of what your friends are doing in-game. So I could see, for example, where in the city of Chicago you are, you know, within that game. And look at your mission logs and, you know, stuff of that nature.
Yeah, and I mean, the concept behind Watch Dogs and the way that you play is great, where, you know, you're not just, you know, I'm sure there is shooting involved and all that stuff. But it's like, you know, okay, you're going to hack into the light pole and screw with it to cause an accident to stop the guy that you're trying to get at instead of just stop him and try to Grand Theft Auto him.
Yes.
And, I mean, just the concept and all that stuff, that's something fresh. That's something we haven't seen before. That's what everybody's been looking for as something new that's not a copy of something else. That's one of the first original ideas we've seen in a AAA title for quite some time.
Yeah.
And it came from the company that has the really restrictive DRM. Yes. I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah. No, I think I kind of had the feeling, too, that Ubisoft was really on point this year. And whether it was Watch Dogs or even their Wii U support, it seems like they're all in as far as the Wii U is concerned.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they got Rayman Legends, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun to play. Zombie U for the quote-unquote hardcore
mm-hmm.
is a good amount of fun. And, you know, at the Nintendo conference, they showed Reggie being turned into a zombie.
Yes. Reggie likes French food.
Yes.
We've learned that. Reggie did good in the conference as well.
Yes, he did.
His body was ready.
And that's really easy to do. I mean, you know, you just hold, because they were doing it at the Ubisoft booth. Mm-hmm. You just hold up the Wii U tablet, you press X to take the picture, you press A to be zombified, that's it.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. When we were all watching it in chat and not actually there, a lot of people in chat said about the Zombie U trailer. We're talking about the trailer that they showed.
Yeah.
They said, that's got to be concept art. that's not how the game looks. That's not how the game is played. Can you speak to that?
The game actually does look really, really nice. And I know Ubisoft was very clear in trying to say, this is for you guys. You know, this mm-hmm. is for the hardcore. It's definitely, it was more like a third-person perspective.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting mechanics that I saw in the game is if you get killed, you don't respawn as the person who just died. You respawn, you know, as another person.
Mm.
So if you're playing person A and you get killed, then you'll spawn as person B. And as person B, you need to go back to person A and get all the materials he had
right.
before you can, you know, continue on with your mission.
See, you need to go you corpse run to loot the body.
Yes, it was very, very interesting. And I know, and Ubisoft was having fun playing with people there because, you know, you could scan the environment with the Wii U tablet. Mm-hmm. And he was telling us, you know, there was a dead zombie right there. You know, scan his body to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you started to scan him, you know, he sprang up back to life. You know, kind of like a cheap scare tactic. But it got everybody cracking up there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ubisoft, I think they probably were the best third-party company this year. Because they seemed like they brought in on pretty much all fronts.
Right.
And the Vita version of Assassin's Creed was pretty mind-blowing, too. And you have a female assassin this time.
That's cool.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Anything else with Ubisoft?
I mentioned it really briefly earlier, but Splinter Cell was looking mm-hmm. pretty awesome. Connect or no Connect, it was looking really nice.
Yeah.
Far Cry 3, I only got to spend a small time with that, but it was looking really nice. Four-player co-op, mm-hmm. it's always more fun to play online with your friends.
Yeah.
When I came out of the Splinter Cell appointment that I had, it was funny because Ubisoft had a Just Dance 4 flash mob in the middle of their booth, which made it really hard during my appointments because I couldn't hear anything.
Right.
But
and everybody complains that E3 is too loud.
Yes. And we even had headphones on.
Yeah.
And it was still kind of hard to hear. We didn't know what was going on. And then I walked out and I said, oh, that's what's going on.
Yeah, no.
So they had like a big circular stage right in the middle of their booth. You know how big E3 booths are.
Yeah.
A big circular stage, and there was probably at least 20, 30 people on there, and they were all Just Dance 4 was going on the big screens, and
Yeah, no, and EA would always do that where you'd have to have, they had mics on their guys, and you wore headphones, and EA was the big one saying, yeah, E3 is too loud. And we're like, the reason you have headphones is because your videos are too loud.
Yeah, your Mass Effect videos or your Need for Speed videos are, definitely.
So EA, this guy, I'm kind of putting these, you know, EA, the big thing that I saw that came out of EA that we didn't expect was UFC.
Yes, that was definitely the thing that took everyone by surprise this week.
And it was because Gamma Sutra reports that that THQ was unable to break even on the latest release. UFC Undisputed 3 fell short of hitting its break-even point of 2 million copies sold. So they sold it to EA and then laid off everybody at THQ San Diego on the first day of E3 so nobody would notice.
Yes. That's very interesting because I know THQ had UFC locked up through 2018.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we'll never know. But I would be very curious to see the details, like the financial details of how much THQ got out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're trying to do everything they can, you know, to stay afloat. And this was, it seems like they're trying to just buckled down with their core titles, like Saints mm-hmm. Row does well for them.
Yeah.
WWE does well for them.
The Saints Row thing, that was kind of interesting, because THQ just brought on Jason Rubin.
Yes.
Jason Rubin, who was one of the founders of Naughty Dog, and he left there about 2 years ago, and now he's the president of THQ. And so he's trying to restructure it to bring it in to do, you know, to make it profitable again. And it was real interesting how he got screwed by one of the elite members of the gaming media for basically an underhanded interview practice that got the entire internet to hate Jason Rubin. And I don't know if you heard about this.
No, I think I'm out of the loop on this one.
Yeah, Jason Rubin did an interview with Polygon, Brian Crescente, former head of Kotaku, who's now over at Polygon, over at TheVerge.com. And he was talking about stuff, and he actually has this great quote. And this is the quote as it appeared, not the exact quote, but the basically he's like, yeah, you know, we liked Saints Row the Third and stuff, but we're hoping to make things that aren't embarrassing and blah, blah, blah. So it came across in the article that Jason Rubin said, yeah, Saints Row is embarrassing. We don't want to do stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, I had...
And the internet hated him for that and all that stuff, and he's, like, on Twitter going, guys, I didn't say that. And what it turns out is that Brian Crescente said he was embarrassed by Saints Row the Third, and he phrased his question in that sense. And so Jason was responding, saying, you know, well, you know, we hope that we can also make great games that don't embarrass you. I mean, Saints Row was great and all that stuff. And Brian cut out the question, just left the answer, and made it sound like Jason Rubin said that Saints Row the Third was an embarrassment.
Wow. Yeah, in that other chat room, I was actually linked to that before your show started, and I haven't gotten to it. But I guess now I don't need to.
Yeah.
Because someone asked me, you know, or someone told me, are you going to review the upcoming Saints Row expansion, Enter the Dominatrix? You probably don't want to because it was embarrassing. And it sounded weird to me at the time, but okay, now that I'm caught up.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. That's like, I mean, other than THQ's, I guess, publishing the South Park game.
Yes, they are.
Anything else THQ's doing?
Company of Heroes 2.
Okay.
Darksiders 2.
All right.
Metro Last Light.
Did you get to see all their THQ? Because I know they had a meeting area, and I know that you're good with THQ. Did you get to see all that stuff?
I got to see what was there. Okay. Darksiders 2 was there. I got to play the first 30 minutes of it. The end battle of the segment that I saw was very cool. I don't want to spoil who it was against,
right?
But it was very cool. I got to see Metro Last Light, hands off. It was just watching them play it, but graphic. The first Metro 23 was a very pretty game, and Last Light doesn't like it's going to disappoint in that arena either.
Yeah.
Company of Heroes 2 was there. I didn't have time to see it, but my particular site doesn't really cover PC games, so it wasn't too big of a loss in that area. WWE wasn't there, and when I asked them about that, they just said it simply wasn't ready to be shown. I think now they're going to be a little bit more gun-shy, as they're going to make sure something is super solid before they bring it to any event like that.
Yeah,
which I think it's probably pretty smart with the current position they're in.
Yeah, they need all the good press they can get and not the bad press.
So even though I was disappointed as a fan, I totally understood the business decision behind that.
And WWE is going to sell.
No question. It's one of their solid franchises.
Yeah,
no question.
It's the one that's going to sell. And, you know, it's another one of those they don't need to show you anything. You're going to buy it anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, they always have a really close relationship with those guys. It was... You know, it made its debut a couple of weeks ago on one of their Monday night show, and so yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. They always do good marketing for that, so yeah, that'll do fine for them.
So, and then for EA, the one game that I kind of wanted to mention and talk about because this is right up my alley is the new SimCity for PC.
Yeah, unfortunately, even though I wanted to, I didn't see it.
Well, I was so hype for this, and then I actually read this one thing about it. Is that it's going the route of Diablo 3.
Is it?
Where you're going to have a required persistent internet connection to play because it's a multiplayer game. And you have to be connected to the servers, which EA says, you know, yeah, we're going to be doing our best not to have Diablo 3 style server problems at launch. But now what they do say is that they could briefly allow people to play offline while things get fixed. But the game is designed to be played in a persistent multiplayer world, and this is the part that's going to suck for me. Players will not be able to gleefully destroy a city and then go back to an earlier save file.
Okay.
They're removing save files, which also means, like, I play SimCity with, you know, sometimes I'll play it with cheats, you know, where I give myself money and stuff. No more of that. No more. It's basically you are going to be playing online in their world, even if you're single player.
Wow.
And that... I mean, I hope that that's just being reported wrong. I hope that that's just, you know, I hope that there is an offline mode. Because if there's an offline mode that lets you, you know, cheat and use save files, perfect. I'd play both modes. I would play both offline and I would play online. Because the online mode sounds neat where, you know, you're working together to, you know, create like kind of a country. And so, you know, people control your city by having criminals come into your city or you work together for challenges. And I really like that idea. I just don't like the idea of that being the only game mode.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see it. EA was another one of those companies where I couldn't get an appointment just because, as you are well aware, I didn't really get in until last minute.
Yeah.
So I was able to see most of the companies, but some of them it was just kind of too late.
Right.
So I did get to play the new Need for Speed from Criterion, and that was a lot of fun. I got a distinct Burnout vibe from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Criterion can really make a bad racing game.
Yeah.
They seem to be all pretty fun. So that was pretty cool. Even though it's interesting that EA had them reboot Most Wanted in the same generation.
Yeah, I know.
Where Most Wanted came out.
But this is Most Wanted, a Criterion game.
Yes. Now, so, I mean, whatever.
going back to SimCity, Technus in chat over at VogNetwork.com says, wait, SimCity's not a sandbox anymore? That's what I get from this. It's still a sandbox game. It's just not a sandbox game you can go back to a previous save. You know, and you could, when you're playing multiplayer, there are challenges, and you can play against AI players as well. I mean, so that's like the added element. It's not a single player experience. It might be multiplayer with AI. But from what I understand, you're still going to need a persistent online connection to play, even if you're playing AI players. That's what I'm getting out of it. I haven't found anything that said differently. If I was there, I would have asked the question.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there, so I didn't get to ask the question.
Yeah.
So we are running to the end of the show here. Anything else that was not covered that you wanted to kind of highlight? Anything from a smaller publisher?
Well, I guess there's that NBA game, the NBA Baller Beat for Kinect. Mm-hmm. I got to see a little bit of that. I don't know how much I'll actually play it, but it looks like it's essentially Guitar Hero with a basketball. It is. You just take away the guitar and you're dribbling the basketball because you have the notes coming down the screen, just like a Guitar Hero or a Rock Band. And you kind of dribble in tune as opposed to pushing the colored buttons on the guitar. So
I'm going to ask you the question that I always and I'm going to phrase it in the way that I would have, you know, looked at it, because my favorite game of E3 every single year is the game I had not heard of before E3. What was your favorite game at E3 that you had not heard of before E3?
Since I'm such a big Assassin's Creed fan, I would probably say the Assassin's Creed Vita.
Mm-hmm.
That one looked really awesome. Watch Dogs, we talked about it earlier. That was looking pretty amazing. I heard a rumor before E3, but you never know what rumors are fact or fiction.
Right.
But Splinter Cell, I was very impressed with. Probably those, just off the top of my head. Okay. Those three.
Any kind of big, like, you know, any neat, you know, smaller market games, indie games that you know? Because, like, Scribblenauts was mine 1 year. And Bastion last year was that. Anything like that we should be on the lookout for?
There was a smaller company, I think it's Rubicon, if I'm getting the name correctly. They have a game called Miner Wars. It'll be on XBLA. They didn't give me a release date, but it was looking like it's going to be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like a little bit of a side-scroller shooting, but it has like twin-stick shooter control, so you know you shoot with the right analog stick.
Right.
You know, you have grenades or whatever with, you know, the X button, what have you. That type of thing.
All right.
That was probably the smallest company that I had the chance to meet with. So, it was definitely looked like it could be pretty cool, you know, depending on, you know, price point and everything. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Brandon Hofer from Totally Gaming Network. What's your website?
TotallyGN.com.
TotallyGN.com. That is where Brandon writes. He's Shadow Next Gen in our chat room at VogNetwork.com. Overall, what did you think of the E3 experience this year?
The E3 experience, I actually very much enjoyed it. For whatever reason, maybe it was just because I had scheduled myself better or whatever, but it seemed to go a lot quicker. Like, I didn't find myself racing across both halls.
Right.
You know, cause it was the setup was different this year, because, you know, you had Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft all in the West Hall.
Right.
And then you have most of the other companies in the South. So that's where I spent probably 90% of my time, was in the South Hall with everyone. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending the evening with me. I know I had originally said 30 minutes, but we want to go in an hour. Now you can go back to writing and unpacking and stuff. Thanks so much, man.
Yes. No problem. Have a good night, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I'm not going to call OLR. Orange Lounge Radio is up next here on FogNetwork.com. They're going to talk about E3 and all that stuff. Also not taking calls. Much apologies to Jim Sally. I know he really wanted to call in tonight, but Jim Sally wasn't at E3. And so I wanted to have somebody on to talk about E3 from the show floor perspective. So thank you very much, everybody, for participating with us here at the VogNetwork.com Voice of Geeks Network. Once again, during live shows, you can actually check in over on the chat page and get 5 points. And on Sunday nights, you get to check into two different shows, and that's 10 points on the leaderboard at VogNetwork.com. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and participate with the show directly, and I will be taking calls in, like Jim Sally's call, next week. Voicemail, you can leave one on any topic, or bumper. We didn't play a bumper tonight, but we will next time. 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll-free in North America, or you can email me an MP3, bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. Twitter is at Bobby Blackwolf. VOG Network also on Facebook and Twitter. Or BobbyBlackWolf.com is where you can contact me. Or we've actually got a contact page on VOGNetwork.com, all that stuff. If you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it might be for somebody who does not yet know about it. But we could not make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, DJ Morpheus, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Sky, The Rob D, VX Jason XV, De Blue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, who called in tonight, thank you, Acidic Vampire, Act Deft, Alpha Cananagram, Osfer, Bashka, Binary667, Brad from Pod Culture, Breakman, Cedabria, Clover Nikon, D5T, Drew Nami, Dungeon Buster, Eswat, Finest Gamer, Game Guru, GGW Rob from Girls Gone Wow, thank you very much, he's here on the VOG Network as well, GK128, Havoc978, Blender, Jim No Call Sally, so sorry, Kazin, Lord Cypher, Matt Q, Melted General, Morgan, Mr. Atari, Raginator, Ratatouille92, Shane Alinko, She-Hulk, SSJ100 Matt, Stan, Taiki, Technus, Tiger Claw, Vandy Bobandy, Warrior Rob, Warrior Bob, not Rob, Wyland, What Up G, William Murderface, Zappy, Zeba, and DR4Ev. So that is it. I am out of here. And, that was not the right one. I'm out of here. That was the bumper I was going to play tonight. I'm out of here. Show did not go off without a hitch. I had to mess up at the end, but E3 is over. Normal shows next week. Crossbows and helicopters, bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.